in this day when so much happening in Israel. I've got a little message here about Israel tonight for your encouragement and warning. I think I said it last week. The main focus is on the city of Jerusalem, God's holy city. That's not what I'm talking about tonight. But there's a lot of things going on at the moment, prophetically significant, about what's happening. Where all these nations are getting upset because Donald Trump dared to say that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. And it's obvious the city of Jerusalem belongs to. Hundreds and hundreds of times it's mentioned in the scriptures. So all this business about it belongs to the Muslims. No. But anyhow, praise the Lord. That's not what I'm talking about tonight, but it's related. I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Zechariah. Zechariah, it's the second last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2. Now, I preached last week from the book of Zechariah a message about the rebuilding of the temple and how this angel told Zerubbabel that the people will see this temple, the groundwork's already laid down, and when they see the plumb line in his hand, they'll know that the rest of the work's going to be done. And it got done, despite great opposition and from people who said they were Christians, by the way. Ah, we serve the same God as you blokes. Let us help you. And they were wise enough to tell him to get lost. We don't want you mob here to help us do God's work. And there was a message in there for us. But anyhow, same book, Zechariah. And the same angel's talking to Zechariah here. He says, Zechariah chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, says, you're all there? For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, listen what he says about those people who touch the apple of his eyes. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us with this verse of scripture and see what he wants to say to us out of it tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us the word written down in a form that we can read, Lord, in black and white, written in a book. And each one of us has been to school and understand what it says, Lord, and we thank you for doing that. Thank you, Lord, that your word will be proclaimed throughout the whole world, Lord. And there's no excuse for anyone, really, especially in Australia, Lord, not to have access to your word and to know what it says. But we do thank you, Lord, as Christians, that we don't have to stumble around wondering what we should do and what we should believe, but you've laid it out very clearly for us, Lord, in the Bible, what it is we're to believe and to do. We pray tonight as we go through this little lesson, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to receive the truth of what is written here and what I'm going to say tonight into our hearts, Lord, that we might stand against the great error that is permeating throughout the nations in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Only a short message, short and sweet. In verse 8 of our opening scripture tonight, we read the prophecy, or the prophecies, that was made directly to Zechariah by an angel who repeatedly claimed that because of the reliability and authenticity of the prophecies that he was delivering, Zechariah would know. He would know that the Lord of hosts has sent me. That's what the angel said. He says it on a few occasions in that book of Zechariah. And that it was from God that the statements originated. The prophecy originated from God. And he would see them come to pass and he would know that God had sent me to tell you all these things, Zechariah. The statement that we are interested in for our short study tonight, which comes from verse 8, is that the nation of Israel is the apple of God's eye. You all know that saying? Of course you do. Israel is the apple of God's eye. Amen? Don't poke God in the eye, my friends. Have you ever been poked in the eye? It hurts. I wouldn't like God to have to rub his eye because of me. Amen? So, the question, though, is Israel still the apple of God's eye? Is Israel still the apple of God's eye? That is the question many people are asking today, including many people who profess to be Christians, who claim that they read their Bibles. They read their Bibles and they're asking this question. Is Israel still the apple of God's eye? These professing Christians claim that because of their disobedience and rejection of God, crucifying His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore Israel, this is what they claim, therefore Israel is no longer the apple of God's eye. That God has finished with the Jews and He has established His church to replace them. You've heard of that? You know about that? Yes? No? 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 Okay. Called replacement theology. I've talked a little bit about it here. Replacement theology. And we need to be wary that we don't fall victim to its teachings. Teachings that are permeating the professing churches. And might I just mention, for all our warning and protection, even Coastline Baptist Church, through people who are grossly deceived, getting their theology not from faithfully attending church and sitting under the Word of God taught to them by a shepherd that God has provided for them, like the Bible tells them to, but from the internet. People are getting on the internet, not coming to church, and getting sucked into this sort of teaching, and they're bringing it in here. People are getting this stuff off the internet that God has replaced Israel with the church. Called replacement theology. And if we're not careful, and listen, I want to tell you people something. If you see something that's going on in here that I don't see, please tell me. Please tell me. I mean it. I mean it. Desperately mean it. Because people will sneak things in here and cause you to be dragged away in error. And if that, the devil will want it to get around the leadership and to the people. So if you see somebody that is bringing suspect stuff into the church, let the leadership know and they will deal with it. We're not going to bash people up, but we'll make sure that it doesn't get passed to the people. If you don't know about these things, you won't be able to stand against them. You don't know what's wrong with replacement theology, you'll get sucked in by it because the Bible proves it. All these errors that they push around, they're all provable from the Bible, you know. Just depends on how you interpret words, you see. So, be careful. There is stuff like that that's coming into our church. And that's not the only thing, there's other stuff too. But anyhow, God is not finished with Israel, my friends. And neither is the church Israel. And tonight we're going to take a look at a number of scriptures that should convince us that this is so. The covenant that God established with Abraham promised personal blessings, national blessings, and universal blessings to Israel. Paul teaches in Galatians, you can turn there please, Galatians 3:16, that all those blessings that were made to Abraham, they come through Abraham's greater seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:16. We're going to have a look and see if the covenant that God set up with Abraham in the beginning, the promises that about the nation that he was going to be, was going to come from him, is still for today or not, alright? So, Galatians 3:16, Paul says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. The Abrahamic covenant was made to Abraham and his seed. They were made. It says there, and now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. But listen here, he hath not said, and to seeds, as of many, as some of these people are supposing, oh, I'm a seed of Abraham, you see. So I'm the nation of Israel, I'm a Jew. So not to seeds as of many, but as of one. He says, and to thy seed, singular, which is Christ. Paul says there, which is Christ. People don't read the next verse, you see. So they get drawn away. Error. But in Romans 11, 1 and 2, you can turn there now, please. You now see that the Abrahamic covenant was made to Abraham and to his seed. That seed that it was made to is Christ. The promises are all fulfilled in him. All right. So now we want to have a look at Romans chapter 11, please. Verses 1 and 2. So God made a covenant with Abraham. And the promise was made to his seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, about this nation of Israel. In Romans 11, verses 1 and 2, Paul also teaches that Israel today is still Abraham's seed, though not yet restored and blessed. It's still his seed, but it hasn't been restored and it hasn't been blessed. And they're not walking as the children of God. They're restored to their land, but they're not restored to God. They're not walking, the Jews are not walking as the children of God. Romans 11, 1 and 2 says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? Because they're not walking in obedience to him. Hath God cast away his people? Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. And verse 2 says, God has not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Which he foreknew. All the way back. Well, all the way back to Abraham and before that even. Alright? God has not cast away his people, the Jews, and they are still the inheritors of the land of Israel. Those who bless her are blessed, and those who curse her are cursed. God used many nations to judge Israel when she sinned. But he always judged those pagan nations afterward. He used the pagans, the Muslims, to come, the Muslims today, to come and bring judgment, but then he judged them. Isaiah 33:1 pronounces woe upon the spoilers, referring to those God used to spoil Israel and bring judgment upon her. But he also pronounced woe upon the spoilers. This applied when Assyria was used as God's instrument to judge Israel. God said in Isaiah 10 and verse 12, don't turn there for time's sake, this is what God said about Assyria when he used her to judge Israel. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria. I will punish him. He's lifted up himself and he thinks he's somebody, but I've just used him as my instrument, that's all. And now I'm going to deal with him. God said that Assyria would be destroyed, but Israel would be restored. Now you can turn with me please to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10, and we'll have a look at a couple of verses there. Now we've got to establish here, is the church Israel? Or has God finished with Israel and now he's got the church? The church has got the Abrahamic covenant blessing upon it? No, it's nonsense. But it's only nonsense if you know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, you believe all this stuff. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 24 to 25, and verse 27 says this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. For yet a very little while, and the indignation shall pass, and mine anger and in their destruction. And verse 27 says, And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away off thy shoulder. Of the Assyrians will be taken off the shoulder of the Jews, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. God said the same thing to Babylon, about Babylon. He said that he would take vengeance on Babylon for destroying God's temple. When the remnant of Israel called for vengeance on Babylon, God answered them and promised vengeance. And we read this in Jeremiah. So if you'd like to go to Jeremiah chapter 51 now, it's just around there near Isaiah, not far away. Jeremiah 51, verses 35 to 37. Tells you about the Babylonians getting judged. Nebuchadnezzar and his mob. Jeremiah chapter 51, 35 to 37 says, The violence done to me and to my flesh be upon Babylon, shall the inhabitants of Zion say, and my blood upon the inhabitants of Chaldea, shall Jerusalem say. Therefore thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee. He's talking to the Jews. I will plead thy cause and take vengeance for thee, and I will dry up her sea and make her springs dry, and Babylon shall become heaps, a dwelling place for dragons, and astonishment, and an hissing, without an inhabitant. And it's been like that for a long, long time. As we've seen in our opening scripture, God declares to Israel, the apple of his eye, that he will judge those who come against her. In verse 9 of Zechariah 2 we read, "For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me." The prophet Ezekiel addressed many nations and pronounced judgment upon them for hating Israel. I'm going to quote the scriptures, but we're not going to read them. In Ezekiel 25, verses 3 to 7, he prophesied against the Ammonites. In Ezekiel 25, 8 to 11, it was Moab. In Ezekiel 25, 12 to 14, it was Edom. In Ezekiel 25, 15 to 17, it was Philistine. In Ezekiel 26, 2 to 5, it was Tyre. In Ezekiel 28, 22 to 24, it was Zidon. All prophecies about destruction to those places because they hated Israel. Ezekiel prophesied that Israel would be regathered, restored, sanctified, and blessed in the land that God gave to Jacob. But he also prophesied that God would judge all those that despised them round about them. And we read that in Ezekiel 28, if you want to go to Ezekiel 28, please. So it's just there near Jeremiah. Ezekiel 20, chapter 28. God said he would judge those that despise Israel. Ezekiel 28, verses 25 and 26 says, "Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel," listen, when he gathered them, "from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land that I have given to my servant Jacob. And they shall dwell therein, safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God." All these nations. He's gathered them from all the people in the places around the world and put them back in the thing. And all these nations are going to come against them, you reckon? This applies to all the pagan nations that God has used to chasten Israel in the times past. It includes all those who tormented and oppressed the Jews during their dispersion throughout the heathen nations, including Rome. Ultimately, God's woe against the spoilers of Israel will fall on the final pagan kingdom headed by the Antichrist and the one world government, which is rapidly coming into being before our very eyes today. God's going to judge them, right? For despising Israel. Israel is currently under God's judgment for her unbelief, but she is still Israel. People say that God is finished with Israel and that the church has been established to replace her. They haven't read their Bibles properly, though. There is a curse upon those who curse Israel, despite her apostate condition. When Israel was wandering in the wilderness because of her sin and unbelief, listen, God did not allow Balaam to curse her. When they were in rebellion and disbelief in the wilderness, Balaam was going to try to curse them. But he couldn't. He wouldn't. Numbers 23:8 records Balaam's question to Balak, the Moabite king who hired him to curse Israel. He says, "How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied?" Balaam knew enough to know that he couldn't do that. And silly church people today don't. Silly church people today think God's cast Israel off. Even in their unbelief and disobedience, wandering in the wilderness, they couldn't go into the promised land because of that. That's when they're in real disbelief and rebellion. God never cast them off. He did not cast them off. And even Balaam said, "I can't curse them because God hasn't cursed them." Anyhow, Balaam says, "How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied?" Good question, Balaam. And it's also a good question that a growing number of Christians need to seriously think about and ask themselves in this day of increasing anti-Semitism. As all nations prepare to come against her, even now assembling and taking up their positions, getting ready for the final assault upon God's chosen people and God's holy land. All happening before our very eyes, my friends. If you don't know what's going on in the Middle East, it's all happening. Don't be fooled into agreeing with or being a supporter of this evil error. An error that is being promoted by people who want to convince you that God is finished with Israel, that the church has replaced Israel, and that Israel is no longer the apple of God's eye. don't get sucked in. Amen? Is all clear? God is not finished with Israel. They're His people. The Abrahamic covenant still stands today. Still stands today. And it's not for the church. The church is a different entity. And we'll be taken out of here very shortly. And God will deal with this rebellion that Israel has had against Him. And it won't be pretty to watch. But we won't be watching it because we won't be here. Very soon, the rapture will take place. Let's pray. And thank God for this bit of instruction and encouragement. And we'll pray and close the meeting. Eh? Thank you, Lord, for this short study in your word, Lord.